On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap an exciting return to football with the NFL's Week 1. Let's get right into it. Welcome into 23's The Mic, everybody. I'm your host, Nadeem. You can find me on Instagram at NadeemN22 and on Twitter at TheDreamN22. We are wrapping up a solid Week 1 of NFL action. It was an awesome week. It was different for sure with no fans in the stands, but I didn't think that it made much of a difference. For me, at least, I didn't feel like it wasn't football-like or whatever people are complaining about on Twitter. Find the show at 23sandmic on Instagram and Twitter. I just released my quarterback rankings, and it's gotten a lot of traction and a lot of comments and a lot of arguments, and that's what those are for. So I'm excited to dive into those, really. The NFL coming back, huge in terms of the kind of environment that we're in today with the coronavirus. And no one really thought that it would come back, like a full contact sport like the NFL being able to come back is kind of surreal. So it's nice to see. So this episode is going to be almost 100% NFL related. We'll do a little segment at the end, just talking, and we'll cover a little Cubs. But for the most part, the episode is going to recap the Bears' win against the Lions, comeback win against the Lions, 17 points in the fourth quarter. And we'll also touch upon the best performances, the best things that I saw this week. We'll have the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yeah, so let's get right into it with the Bears recap. So the Bears beat the Detroit Lions in Week 1 to open the season, 27-23, the final, in a crazy, epic comeback win, 21 points unanswered in the fourth quarter. Mitch Trubisky in the fourth quarter was 8 for 10 for 89 yards and 3 touchdowns. This might have been the best fourth quarter. This might have been the best Mitch Trubisky we've ever seen. In the fourth quarter alone, he had a QB passer rating of 143.3. Now, before the fourth quarter, Bears fans from all over the place were calling for Mitch Trubisky to be replaced by Nick Foles. He was 12 for 26, 153 yards, nothing special. Didn't look like he knew had any idea what he was doing out there. It was really bad on the passing game, but the ground game, which has been not an area of success in the Matt Nagy tenure, the ground game rushed for 149 yards between David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, Cordell Patterson, who was being used as a scat back, and Mitch had himself 26 yards on the ground. Allen Robinson had 5 catches for 74 yards. Anthony Miller, who Trubs finally found a connection with that we've been waiting for like 2 years, he had 4 catches for 76 yards and the game-winning touchdown. This was a really good performance out of Mitch. Even Jimmy Graham had 2 touchdowns. We've all been down on Jimmy Graham. A great performance for Mitch. My take on this, though, is the first three quarters against a banged up Detroit Lions defense who is bottom 5 in the NFL, plus being banged up, plus no Kenny Galladay. And it took three quarters of nothing from Mitch Trubisky to finally set a fire under him and have a great performance in the fourth quarter. And it is what it is. Trubisky saved the Bears in the fourth quarter, for sure. And we have to give credit to where it's due. But is he a long-term answer? Does this game has, as like we've seen before in the past, I remember last year against the Redskins in Week 3, everyone was saying, oh, Mitch Trubisky had a great game against the Redskins, a bottom-tier team, against the Lions, another bottom-tier team. We keep looking at these games against bad teams and, heralding him as, the franchise quarterback, and I don't think that's where it is. I think to evaluate the quarterback, and especially in the Bears franchise history where you've never once had a good quarterback, especially, and I hate to bring it up, but Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson having excellent careers with the Texans and the Chiefs, and it's just, you don't see that same level of production, and you're always going to have that comparison as the Bears passed on both Watson and Mahomes in the 2017 draft. And it's not like that's completely out of the picture either. Like, we see Mahomes lighting it up, we see Watson doing well with the Texans, so this thing is always going to happen. But big props to Kyle Fuller, who had a big interception late in the fourth quarter to give the Bears the ball back, in which Mitch Trubisky then capitalized with the opportunity. And again, credit to where credit is due. He has a big game next week against the Giants. He can build on this confidence. Again, a bad team, but if you keep building on this confidence, if you keep building on this level of play, it enhances your style of ability to play football at the quarterback position. Again, a lot of times in the first three quarters, it didn't look like he knew what he was doing out there. And that is something that we need to kind of monitor as the situation goes on, because what's the point of bringing Nick Foles in here for $21 million over 2 years for a fourth round draft pick if you're not going to utilize him? And is he really not, like, how bad does Nick Foles have to be to not be able to beat out Trubisky in a quarterback competition? It's got to be pretty bad. But the defense looked good. They're really getting to Khalil Mack. Like, Khalil Mack has been taken out of games due to offensive lines double, triple teaming him constantly. He's almost being held on every play. There's a big, big call everywhere for that. I mean, like, they're just, like, letting him go at this point, because this man is trying so hard to get involved and be that dominant pass rusher that he is. But he's been taken out, schemed out of games by opposing offenses, which is, you know, props to them. But neutralizing him, Akeem Hicks didn't really get involved. We expected more from him, and we're still waiting to see Robert Quinn have a good impact. But Kyle Fuller, the Bears secondary, give him props. No Kenny Golladay, no matter. They took advantage. One thing I want to highlight, and this is a personal preference of mine, shout out to Oklahoma Sooner running back Adrian Peterson for signing with the Detroit Lions at the age of 35 years old. He is definitely the greatest running back I have ever seen in my lifetime. And he is probably top five all time. So coming into the season at the age of 35, he was recently cut by the Washington football team. He signs with the Detroit Lions, and he goes for 93 yards on 14 carries against the Bears defense, the vaunted Bears defense, who's probably got a top five, top seven run defense in the league. He was really, really good. And not only that, he looked explosive off the jump. He was making the cuts. Reminded me a lot, and I guess I know he's not as fast as he was against the Bears in 2007, but if you remember the game in week three against the Bears where the Vikings, it was like his first game against the Bears at Soldier Field, and the jump cuts, he had three touchdowns that game. He was an impossible guy to bring down. So 13 years later, AP still got it. It's crazy to see that he's still got the burst, maybe not the speed, but he's got the jump cuts. He has the power. So great to see that. Looking ahead, like I said, to the Bears schedule, we got the Giants next week. I think it's a big, big test, especially their depleted defense with Xavier McKinney out, their rookie safety that they're planning on being a stud. So he's out. I think it's important for Trubisky to kind of find a rhythm. And if not, I mean, you got to pull the plug at some point. If he does not have a good game against the Giants, we have to be looking at getting Nick Foles into the offensive game plan, you know? And one of the takes, I thought that was quite funny. If you remember when the Eagles had their Super Bowl run, Nick Foles came on late into the season after Carson Wentz got hurt. So maybe we're just playing this as a keep Trubisky in there for the early part of the season, then just wait for playoff Nick Foles to come in and get the job done and win us a Super Bowl. All right, next we have the good, the bad, and the ugly from week one in the NFL. My good for week one is Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals taking on the reigning defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers with their vaunted defense that they improved on. They improved on after making the Super Bowl, after beating everyone else in the NFC. They improve upon their defense that carried them all the way. They draft Javon Kinlaw of South Carolina. They have studs all around the ball on the defensive side. Kyler Murray at 5'9 in his second year goes into San Francisco, goes 26 for 40, a touchdown through the air, 230 yards, and 91 yards on the ground on 13 carries and a rushing touchdown, and beats the defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. We're talking about the Arizona Cardinals, who nobody gave a shot to. Everyone said that they were a failed experiment. They were another version of Chip Kelly's Philadelphia Eagles, but they go into San Francisco. Cliff Kingsbury with his new weapon and DeAndre Hopkins calls a great game, to be honest. Kenyon Drake is a good back. Chase Edmonds in the backfield and pass catching. And Kyler Murray coming to play huge. Who would have thought in his second year, Kyler Murray, he's fast. He's dynamic. He's explosive. He runs for his life, really. It looks like on every single play he's running for his life. But he can throw the football. That connection that he has with DeAndre Hopkins, that's just pure chemistry that you can tell right off the bat a quarterback and wide receiver have. Their defense even is stepping up. Patrick Peterson, Buda Baker, Chandler Jones, studs all around the defensive ball. And I'm telling you, I think that the Cardinals will make a wild card push. I think they're the second best team in that division. I think they can hang with the 49ers, obviously. They just beat them in their own house. I think they can beat the Rams, and I think the Seahawks, they could give a test to. I think they could give a legitimate test to the Seahawks and make it a game. I think they're the second best team in that division. I picked them to win the wild card spot, and that's my good. My bad would probably have to be Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. Preseason, I had Carson Wentz in my top five for quarterbacks after So I feel like the set four quarterbacks are Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, and Jackson. Those are the top four. Maybe you can mix Rodgers and Jackson, but I think Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, Jackson. After that comes the rest, and I had Carson Wentz there because he just had everything that you needed in terms of the mechanics, skill set at the quarterback position. And I think he's just like an all-around stud. Now, the problem is that Miles Sanders, who was supposed to be his star running back this year, was out with a hamstring injury. His offensive line gave up eight sacks in one game. How is your quarterback supposed to get anything done when he's facing eight sacks in one game? He actually started out the night really well, going 14 for 22 and 182 yards and two touchdowns in the first half. But in the second half, he was 10 for 20 for 88 yards. Didn't look as good, but I mean, he was getting pressured. He was getting rushed. It was abysmal on the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Washington football team on the flip side looked pretty good. I think the problem is that Carson Wentz doesn't have offensive weapons on the receiver position, and I think that's another thing that Aaron Rodgers is dealing with in Green Bay, where they're not giving him really good weapons. The only problem is that Carson Wentz isn't Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers has Davante Adams, and Carson Wentz doesn't have like a number one wide receiver. They drafted Jalen Reagor, who looked okay, but one thing that I noticed with both of the interceptions from Carson Wentz is that he was having his receivers not come to the ball in the curl routes. I think he was expecting them to like fight more for the ball in these curl routes, and the defense was jumping. So both the interceptions that he had were kind of like carbon copies of each other. And I think if they're going to turn it around, their defense is okay. They lost to the Washington football team, who nobody gave a shot to, who are now leading the NFC East, the only team in the NFC East with a win. But I think Carson Wentz really needs to improve upon just making better decisions and just having more trust in his receivers, even though he was having like a bunch of issues. He had Zach Ertz dropping a critical fourth down late in the game. His receivers were dropping balls left and right. He was getting hit, so I think he needs a lot more help. But I think he still has what it takes to be an elite quarterback in this league. And if he gets that help, I would not be surprised if he's an elite quarterback by the end of the year. And now we get to the ugly, and it's really unfortunate because I was really high on this team a couple years back, really high on them last year. They had all the hype in the world going into the 2019 season. With their offseason acquisitions, they looked great on paper. This is like a really good Madden team, I feel. But the Cleveland Browns are a dumpster fire right now. On every side of the ball, Lamar Jackson torched this Browns defense, going 20 for 25. That's an 80% completion percentage, 275 yards, three touchdowns. He was on fire. He was throwing to wide open receivers all game long. This Cleveland secondary cannot guard anybody. With injuries to Grant Delpit, that doesn't hurt their star rookie safety out of LSU. Baker Mayfield did not look good. He looks like he's completely lost his confidence. OBJ looks terrible. OBJ looks like he does not want to be out there. Nick Chubb is fumbling. Austin Seibert, their kicker, is missing, shanking 41-yard kicks. I mean, they're not helping themselves. They had a fake punt that resulted in a fumble. It was an atrocious performance on every side of the ball for the Cleveland Browns, and that's really unfortunate as we were finally looking to see if the Cleveland Browns can come into relevancy in this league. They have a game against the Bengals this week, so it'll be Baker versus Joe Burrow, who also had an okay debut against this a really tough Los Angeles Charger defense. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. It's a battle of number one picks, so looking forward to seeing that on Thursday night. But if the Browns don't turn this around soon, it's going to get bad, and it already is ugly. Switching gears a bit, right before we get into the rankings, I want to go over my top three performances of the week on the receiving side of the ball. Our star receivers that don't get enough love and attention. We have amazing performances this week from three studs, D-Hop, Devontae Adams, and Julio Jones, all going for 150-plus yards. Of course, got to give love to the greatest white receiver in NFL history, Adam Thielen, going for 110 yards and two touchdowns. Kirk Cousins, he's got some work to do. He doesn't look like he's the most comfortable out there, especially against that Packer defense. But Adam Thielen coming to life. And then got to give love to the two rookie studs, CeeDee Lamb going 5 for 59, Jerry Jeudy going 4 for 56 in their debuts. They looked really good. Just based on the eye test alone, they looked really good. I think Jerry Jeudy's route running is excellent, and CeeDee Lamb is just everything you want in a receiver. So I'm looking forward to see how Dallas implements more of CeeDee Lamb in their passing game, and I'm looking forward to see how Denver does with Drew Lock, Jerry Jeudy. I think Drew Lock was really favoring Noah Fant yesterday. So if you have him in fantasy, good luck, because you're going to have a great season with Noah Fant. But let's see if Jerry Jeudy becomes that number one. And let's see where CeeDee Lamb goes in the depth chart, because he's a great receiver, but Dallas already has Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. So let's see if he finishes the year as the number two, or if he finishes the year as the top slot guy in Dallas. So I think that the quarterback rankings this season especially, so in previous years, it's usually you have maybe your top three, your top four, your top five, and a little more even that are really just set in stone really in people's minds. This year it's very different. You have your top three, but then after that it's just a complete mess really, as from like I would say 5 to 10, 5 to 12, it's just up in the air. After the week one performances and after how last year ended, I gave the nod to Kyler Murray, just because I mean, against the toughest test I would say of the week were the two Oklahoma quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield against the Ravens and Kyler Murray against San Francisco 49ers. Two of the two best defenses last year. These two young quarterbacks who have not yet proven themselves. And Baker Mayfield completely failed, for sure. For sure. As a Baker Mayfield stan, I have to admit that he did not look good at all. But Kyler Murray going, like I said before, as my good, going crazy. I think that really just propelled him for me in my mind. One shout-out I want to also give is to Aaron Rodgers, who a lot of people were down on against a Vikings defense that was a little banged up on the defensive line, but still a decent secondary. Aaron Rodgers puts up 364 yards and four touchdowns, and the touchdown throws, if you have not seen the touchdown throws that Aaron Rodgers threw, and this is like a Bears fan podcast, and after the Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love thing, like, we want Aaron Rodgers to come to the Bears. Like, we're hoping for that. And it's a pipe dream, but it is what it is. Go back if you haven't seen the Aaron Rodgers touchdown throws and look at the precision accuracy that he throws it with. Like, I'm not even that big of an Aaron Rodgers fan. It's just how can you not put him up there? How do you say that Aaron Rodgers is falling off that proverbial cliff, or that he's going to have a regression in this year? When he is on fire, he's more motivated maybe than ever. He's angry at the fact that the Packers drafted a quarterback with their first round pick. I think Aaron Rodgers clear cut top three easily. Send me your thoughts on the list. Comment on Instagram and tweet at us at Twitter. And one crazy thing of note that just came into the show, breaking news, is Allen Robinson has unfollowed the Bears on his social media, and that is not a good thing in this day and age. You see that happen a lot. That's a big deal, especially with the Bears not wanting to re-sign him in the offseason, and that should be priority number one for sure. He's the best player on the Bears offense, and they are not re-signing him. And Ryan Pace, you've made some questionable decisions, if I'm being kind of nice about it, but This should be priority number one and needs to get done. The Bears need to re-sign Allen Robinson. This has to get done. You look at the situation that's going on right now with the Browns and Odell Beckham. He does not want to play for that team. He does not, since he's been there, has not looked like he is interested in football as his main priority. And that situation is blowing up. There's that chemistry that's lacking between Baker and Odell. You do not want to replicate that situation here in Chicago, especially when you have questions at the quarterback position. We don't need questions at the wide receiver position when we have it locked up already. So that's just you know, an unnecessary problem, conflict that you're creating if you do not sign this man. You need to extend A-Rob. Hashtag extend A-Rob. All right, that's all we have for today's show. Thanks for tuning in. Later on this week, we'll do a preview of the MLB playoffs. I can't believe the season's already ending. But the Cubs and the White Sox look really good. We might actually have a White Sox conversation on this show, because they're the top team in the AL right now, which is insane to think about. The Cubs are turning it back. Alec Mills had a no-hitter, so we'll get into that and more on later this week. And then we're also going to talk about the NBA playoffs. It's funny because the NBA playoffs is almost all we had, but it's so, like, the NBA playoffs are nice, but it's so great to have football back. The conference finals will take shape after today, so we'll do an episode later this week on that. Game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers is tonight. Who thought that game would have gone to 7? But 3-1 is the worst lead to have in sports. And so we'll be looking forward to that, the Premier League preview, as week 1 of the Premier League is about to end. However, Manchester City and Man United haven't played yet because of the European leave. So we'll have a preview episode on that. We'll do the NBA conference final preview, and we'll do the baseball playoff preview in the bubble. It's announced today that they're having a bubble, so we'll get to all of that and more later in the week. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Leave a comment, leave a like, follow us on Instagram at 23sthemike. That wasn't supposed to rhyme, but we appreciate you guys so much for listening to today's episode, and we will get to you with more content later in the week. Thanks so much for listening again for like the 50th time. We love you guys. This is 23s the Mike.